Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Would it still be okay for the product to say this is oat milk? Or can it use the word milk at all? I mean, walk me through some real life scenarios for oat milk, almond milk, some of these milk alternatives.
I think it's more of a concern of consumer confusion. I think what we're looking for more is the truth in labeling. So almond beverage, oat beverage, something like that. And I'm happy to go over the federal identity standards, but that's how they're supposed to be labeled. So almond beverage is something more than what we're looking for.
You ever take a peek into the Florida legislature, listen to what they're doing, and think, what in the So, in the conversation about SB 700, this comprehensive agriculture bill that includes, like, the fluoride ban, it's not fluoride specifically, but all additives to water that do not improve water quality, bans drones being used by non-owners or operators over agricultural fields, and bans, like, hallucinogenic mushrooms. Like, there's all kinds of things in this bill. Among other things. But there is, in fact, a requirement that we change the labeling and marketing and advertising of meat, egg, and milk alternatives so that they do not say the key words if they're not actually the thing. Egg, egg product, meat, poultry, poultry product. You cannot call it that if it's not egg, milk, meat, or poultry. I'm not making this up. This is an actual part of the bill that they were debating in the House the other day. Kelly Skidmore, the first voice here is Anna Escamani asking the comprehensive agriculture bill sponsor, Kaylee Tuck, who's, you know, she's good legislator. Okay. Kelly Skidmore.
How does it work if we're just changing the label in Florida? How does that impact the manufacturing?
Good question.
The identity standards in the federal statute have been there for a very long time. What we're saying in this bill is that if 11 of the 14 southeastern states also pass this bill, then that's when we change it. It's not an automatic change. It's whenever the southeastern region does it.
So when we pass this, and they did pass this, by the way, it does not go into effect immediately because it has to wait on, you know, other legislatures in other southeastern states, the 14 of us. If 11 of them pass this same requirement, then the names have to change on the products in the grocery store or the advertisement of the products in other retail environments like restaurants.
So as an oat milk drinker, I became very interested in this line of questioning. How many of these southeastern states have passed similar legislation to this?
When it comes to milk labeling, one of the 14 has, and when it comes to meat, eggs, and poultry, none of them have. We'd be the first.
So we'd be the first on the non-milk things. We would be the second of 11 required on the milk-related topic. That's Ashley Gant, a Democrat. So, yeah, this bill is, it's as dumb as it sounds. I don't know how else to explain it. You go through the list of things that you wouldn't be allowed to call a thing milk if it, like, almond milk would be almond beverage. Or something other than milk. You know, I mean, oat milk. Well, you can't call it milk. There's no nipples involved. So it's obviously, you know, I mean, there's nobody in there with their tweezers milking the almond nipples to make milk, right? So it's not milk. You can't call it milk. Egg substitutes are not eggs, so you can't call them eggs. You know, meat substitutes are not meat. You can't call it meat. Poultry, you can't call it poultry. What I think is kind of funny about this bill, though, is apparently, chicken is not prohibited. Beef is not prohibited. So you might not be able to call it a meat substitute, but I would think under the bill as I read it, you could call it a beef substitute. Yes, I kid you not. The legislature did this and is doing this. So Anna Escamani, who I don't typically agree with, but, you know, if a Democrat's right, a Democrat's right. Anna Escamani says, let's change and get rid of this. It's ridiculous. Nobody is confused. Nobody walks into the store wondering, I mean, did the almond milk come from nipples? nobody's confused.
The amendment is for my soy boys out there and my vegan girlies. It essentially strikes out this language around mislabeling As a vegan, I can tell you that it's an intentional decision not to consume meat products and dairy products and so forth. And when I go shopping, I'm looking for those plant-based products. They're very clearly labeled already. I can tell you that I am not confused when I'm buying a product.
Nobody's confused. Nobody inadvertently wanders into the milk aisle and buys oat milk thinking, oh, dang it, I thought this was a cow product. Nobody does this. So, you know, you start to ask the question, well, where does it come from? Well, you ask me. This is another protect the ranchers bill. This is designed to make, and the chicken farmers, okay, this is designed to make it hard to compete against them. I mean, this is a protectionist bill. Just like, remember the bill we did last year where you cannot sell artificial meat in the state of Florida, right? Substitute meat. Remember that bill? That synthetically generated alternate meat. Like, you can repackage tofu or bean curds or whatever, but you cannot make synthetic meat in the state of Florida and sell it. That was a bill to protect ranchers. A stupid, ridiculous, anti-competitive, anti-capitalistic bill. This is too. Ashley Gant. Again, if Republicans didn't do dumb things, you wouldn't force me into the position of having to agree with Ashley Gant, of all people. My goodness, this is terrible.
Just preempting. And if we talk about free market in this body as much as we do, and capitalism, this is allowing people to make their very own independent decisions with clear labeling and changing it from milk, or allowing it to stay milk, because it is milk. Milk doesn't just come from animals, because really, truly, as humans, we should stop drinking milk after we stop being breastfed, because cow milk is for calves. Anyway.
You didn't need to add that. That makes you sound like a loon. although she's not the only one who believes that, but it's still. It was all of the vegans and vegetarians who were standing up against this bill, which I thought, man, that's too bad, too. But we'll get back to this in a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now. But if you are on North Palafox between Burgess and East Nine Mile Road, actually, yeah, past that, we're seeing some major delays on North Palafox, so be aware of that. Other than that, everything else is looking good. I-10, I-110 flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. If you're trying to figure out what the next car is going to be and you want to buy a used car because you realize that buying a new car means that extra cost that comes to you, and you listen to Dave Ramsey and you listen to me and you want to buy something that's going to last you a while, it's going to be maybe 1, 2, maybe 4 years old with low miles and great condition, that's what Frontier Motors really specializes in. In fact, that's the kind of car they only buy A-quality cars. They only sell A-quality cars because they know that that's their brand, is we're going to warranty it to 100,000 miles or 10 years. We're going to take care of it. You're going to get cars you can trust, right? A lot of times you buy a used car and you're like, man, I hope, you know, but from Frontier, you don't have to hope. You know it's going to be good. Well, also, when you're picking which one you want to buy from them, ask them for their advice. I mean, seriously, I mean, it sounds weird. Like, why would you ask the person who's trying to sell? Because they actually know. They see thousands of cars. They know what people like, don't like, what sells well, what doesn't sell well, holds its value, doesn't have a lot of maintenance, or does have a lot of maintenance, and they can give you that kind of advice and really, you know, help be your ally in this. You're kind of agent, so to speak, you know, somebody who's a consultant instead of being, you know, your opponent, which is kind of how we tend to think of these things. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi. Back to the conversation about, I kid you not, banning the words milk for non-dairy products, poultry for non-chicken products, and meat for non-beef related products. Felicia Anderson, another Democrat vegan.
Really wasn't going to debate on this, but when they started talking about the vegan and the milk and all that stuff, I think I probably have been the longest, and I wouldn't say I'm vegan, but vegetarian. I've been one my entire life. I've never eaten any meat. However, when it comes to branding and labeling, I've never been confused. And I'm what, 54? So that's a long time.
Exactly. No, nobody has ever been confused about this. Now, there are labeling problems when it comes to food. Raise your hand if you've ever inadvertently bought the low-salt alternative or the no-fat alternative or the, you know, just by mistake. David, is that a head nod for you? Yes, 100%. We have all mistakenly come home with the low-salt Campbell's soup and thought, why did you make this so hard to tell, right?
It's terrible.
It's terrible. Okay.
It's a tragedy when that happens.
It is. But have you ever bought almond milk by error?
No.
Okay. Nobody has.
No, you have to seek that out.
Yeah, that's right. You got to try for it. Kelly Skidmore, another Democrat who is a carnivore.
I am not a vegan. I am not a vegetarian. I run as far away as I possibly can from the Impossible Burger. I have never eaten tofu. I hope to die having never eaten tofu. But I am not confused about what I need to buy and what I shouldn't buy. I know I am not buying anything that is not meat. I know what it is.
Exactly. So what is this designed to accomplish? Well, they went ahead and passed it. Anna Eskamani ran an amendment to get rid of it. They voice voted down her amendment, like, to allow you to continue to do what they've been doing for, you know, decades. So if 11 out of 14 southeastern states all agree, and one has already agreed on milk, and we're waiting on, 9 more there, and we're waiting on 10 when it comes to meat and poultry, then eventually you would not be able to use the words meat, poultry, eggs, milk. Somebody says, what was this text? Thanks, Andrew. Now I have a disturbing mental picture of someone trying to defile an almond for its juices. Sorry, not sorry. I don't know. It's just so crazy. Why are you doing this? Well, again, you know, somebody spent time writing this legislation, advocating for this legislation, passing this legislation through the committees. And I'll give you my theory on this. I don't think it's much of a stretch. My theory is that the ranchers and the chicken farmers and so forth, people who I care deeply about and want to prosper and believe in, and I care about agriculture, you know. I mean, I might be the only radio show in history that got a weekly or at least a monthly feature talking to farmers about the local farming community. Like, that matters to me. But protectionism is protectionism. And so I'm guessing that a significant number of downstate legislators got lobbied by their ranchers and their chicken farmers and their milk producers. And they said, you need to, you know, make it harder for our competitors to do business in the state. And here's how. And they came to the legislature and said, look, we know this is wrong. This is anti-competitive. This is anti-capitalist. This is anti-free market. But if you want votes on your bills, you got to give us a vote on these bills. I'm assuming that's what happens here. Okay. So, yeah, it went ahead and passed. Now, I do want to give a little bit of credit because on a totally different subject, the presidential libraries bill that Alex Andrade has been running to allow Trump's library to come to Miami-Dade without local zoning boards interfering with its development. Alex Andrade gave what I think can only be described as perhaps the most exquisite floor speech he's ever given on the subject of the presidential libraries, SB 118, but it harkened back to this conversation about alternate terminology for almond milk, oat milk, and so forth.
By Senator Broder and others, Senate Bill 118, a bill to be entitled an act relating to regulation of presidential libraries.
Representative Andrade, you're recognized to explain the bill.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. Members, there are a few truths that we hold to be self-evident. Die Hard is a Christmas movie. Almond and cashew milk is more accurately described as nut juice. And President Trump's library should be located here in the state of Florida.
Nut juice. Oh, my goodness. I'm Andrew McKay.
Hey, all the way. Hey, all the way.
The Pensacola Navy Days 4K is Saturday, May 10th. This fun run starts at Plaza de Luna and runs up Palafox, along Bayfront to Veterans Park, and back to Plaza de Luna. Registrants receive a commemorative Pensacola Navy Days challenge coin and race t-shirt. You can run or walk, and when you return to Plaza de Luna, you can celebrate with a beverage and stick around for the Family Fun Fest. Register now at PensacolaNavyDays.com. That's PensacolaNavyDays.com.
Okay, let's talk about renovation and how it's not like your ordinary happy ending home makeover show. Example, there are the guys who prey on homeowners and never show up to do the work. So that's why the state of Florida licenses contractors. You can check if your contractor is licensed at the Florida Department of Business and Professional Regulation website at myfloridalicense.com.
This message is sponsored by the Florida Department of Business and Professional Regulation, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this station.
For almost two decades, Bella Magazine has been celebrating the women of the greater Pensacola community. The tradition continues as Bella Magazine brings print to radio every month on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Tune in today at 9 to hear latest health and wellness, philanthropy, stories on local businesses and women, fashion and beauty, home and garden, food and wine, travel stories, and more. That's the Bella Magazine Show, today at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings before pep talk on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
TTFN, ta-ta for now.
Watch me. Watch me. I got it. Watch me. I got it.
625 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you're new to the show, like if you're just listening within the last week, let me explain the show to you. Ready? We try to tell the truth and have fun. Not necessarily in that order. I mean, both are important. But, you know, I like to have fun. I play good music and play all these sound clips from all these different sources that at least make my day better. John, they make you laugh.
Yes.
And every once in a while... Every once in a while, we wind up talking about...
Almond and cashew milk is more accurately described as nut juice.
A legitimate bill that passed in the state of Florida. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
Nut juice. Let's see here. No,
why is that funny?
Hey, easy.
Go on.
Easy now. I can cut you off. All right, here we go. No accidents to report to you right now. 98 eastbound, just east of Navarre Beach Bridge, starting to see some delays, just about a 5 to 7 minute delay right now. Nothing really that big. It's about all I'm seeing right now. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
I mean, if you're in a rush to get home to
nut juice,
take care of stuff. I can't make my joke now. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. I was going to say 5 to 7 minutes can make a big difference. But anyway, David, go ahead.
How do I follow any of this?
No, there's no possible way. You just want to skip and come back later? Go on, you know, tell them the headlines.
The best almond milk quote actually comes from Sam Elliott in The Ranch. If you haven't seen it, I can't say it here. But
oh.
If you haven't seen it,
all
if
right.
You know, you know. Let's nope. Put it that
all
way.
Right.
Ukraine has signed a minerals agreement with the U.S., The agreement comes about 2 months now after the White House meeting between Trump and Zelensky derailed the negotiations. Zelensky had declined to sign previous proposals, but, of course, now a deal is signed. Tesla denying a report that it's looking to replace Elon Musk as CEO. The Wall Street Journal ran a story, though, yesterday claiming Tesla's board opened a search for a new CEO last month as company's stocks were sinking. After the story broke, Tesla's board chairman released a statement calling that absolutely false. And Marvel Studios' Thunderbolts is looking to get off to a big start at the box office this coming weekend. The film, with an asterisk in the title, features an ensemble of anti-heroes and is expected to make up to $75 million for its debut weekend.
All right, David, thank you so much for the update. 628, we're getting some great texts in here at 437-1620. Let's see, somebody says, where did it go? Forgive the harshness, but the only people I've ever met that were confused about non-dairy milk labeling were idiots. I mean, it's not harsh, that's just accurate. Actual conversation. No, this cannot be. This cannot be just when you think people can't disappoint you in by underperforming in the intelligence category. This person claims an actual conversation. Adult, my kid can't have cow's milk. Me, that's okay. This is coconut milk. Adult, yeah, but the label says milk. Me, yeah, but it doesn't have cow's milk. It's coconut milk. It's plant-based. Adult, I don't care. My kid can't have cow's milk. Me, walks away. Come on. Well, I suppose just when you think nobody can be that dumb. And somebody else, this might actually become something for transgressors tomorrow. You got it all wrong. This bill is to make sure that cows still identify as cows, chickens still identify as chickens, and eggs still identify as eggs. Well, how dare you stop an almond from identifying as an udder? How dare you stop some soybeans or soy boys. It cracks me up that they use that phrase with a straight face. Anyway, the soy boys don't identify as, you know, not so much soy girls, but as, you know, cowgirl. I don't even know where we're at here. I can't do this anymore. 6:29 on News Radio 92.3. What else do we have going on? Oh, we're going to come up in just a few minutes. We're going to talk to Wes Moreno, County Administrator. We got a board meeting today. Lots of stuff on the agenda today. They're going to talk about the $25 million proposal to put turf fields on the NEP fields at John R. Jones Stadium on 9 Mile. I think this is a big waste of money. It's a super expensive thing, especially when we're facing bridge replacement for the Bob Sykes Bridge. The price tag on that's going to be upwards of $200 million. And it could be funded with TDT money, by the way. That as I read it, transportation infrastructure related to tourism isn't eligible. So we'll be talking with him about that and the fire MSBU. Big topic tonight.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. A deal's announced for the U.S. and Ukraine to jointly invest in and profit from Ukraine's natural resources like rare earth minerals, oil, and gas. Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent on Fox.
We have a chance to participate, get some of the funding and the weapons, compensation for those, and be partners with the success of the Ukraine people.
Ukraine's government says it will decide what and where to extract. The Senate barely defeats a resolution meant to end the national emergency President Trump declared to impose widespread tariffs.
Three Republicans, Senators Lisa Murkowski, Rand Paul, and Susan Collins, joining all present Democrats in supporting it. The disapproval resolution comes amid concerns over how tariffs on nearly all U.S. trading partners will impact the economy.
Fox's Kristen Goodwin. The vote was 49-49 with two Republicans not present and the tie-breaking vote cast by Vice President Vance. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. Looks like a nice morning. Partly cloudy skies right now, 67 degrees in Pensacola. Well, one person in custody after a dispute between co-workers led to a stabbing in Milton yesterday. Santa Rosa County officials say that happened about 7 p.m. on Bluebell Street. The victim was stabbed around the ear, then taken to a hospital for treatment. Their injuries were described as being not life-threatening. A suspect was arrested in that case. A 30-year-old Fort Walton Beach man facing charges after allegedly placing a hidden camera in an air vent and capturing video footage of a woman undressing for several months. Okaloosa County deputies arrested Jason Carpenter Wednesday. He's charged with video voyeurism and burglary. Investigators say a woman found that camera in her home last month after noticing a glare while she was cleaning. The sheriff's office says the camera had been recording the victim in her bedroom since February. The video reportedly showed Carpenter as he set the camera up. Aggravated assault with a weapon charges now filed against two 14-year-olds that are accused of having a gun at Warrington Preparatory Academy this week. Escambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons tells Channel 3 one of those students brought the gun from home after taking it from his father's safe, then showed it to another student in a threatening manner. Then a second student is accused of helping to hide the gun.
We ended up charging both 14-year-olds with some rather serious charges, aggravated assault with a firearm, but also bringing the gun to the classroom itself.
Simmons says the sheriff's office is committed to working with the school district to make sure all schools are safe learning environments. The school released a statement saying no students were in danger during that incident. Well, Governor DeSantis criticizing the state house. Time, of course, now running out in the regular legislative session. He was in Lake County yesterday where he accused House leaders of turning their backs on the conservative progress made during his administration. He also attacked the recent investigation into Hope, Florida.
People smear what they fear. And if Hope, Florida represents a threat to their worldview, they're going to go at it.
And That again from his speech in Lake County yesterday. Condo owners could benefit from what one Florida lawmaker says is an incredible bill. State Representative Vicky Lopez talking yesterday about new condo safety bill HB 913, which gives condo associations one more year to pass a structural integrity study, and it would give the associations more ways to comply with the state's financial requirements. Lopez says the bill is an effort to reach a delicate balance between safety and financial relief. It is 634 News Radio 92.3. And let's get a look at our traffic on the fives. Good morning, John Pickens. What are you seeing?
Well, good morning, David. Brought to you by Executive Landscaping. Call them today for all your commercial and premium landscaping needs. No accidents, no delays. They're going to delay your ride in this morning, which is good news on that. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
We are going to be seeing a partly cloudy sky day today with a rain chance possible in the morning and afternoon. High today near 82 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 70 degrees. Rain chances jumping up on Friday, especially in the afternoon. 50% chance of some showers and thunderstorms, high near 82. Friday night, temperatures dropping near 68. Rain chances ramping up as we go into your Saturday. 80% chance of showers and thunderstorms through the morning, afternoon, and evening, high near 82. Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 65. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. 66 degrees in Pensacola, 65 in Milton, 70 in Gulf Breeze. Your next news at 7 and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
If you're living with dry age-related macular degeneration or dry AMD, you may be at risk for developing geographic atrophy or GA. GA can be unpredictable and progress rapidly, leading to irreversible vision loss. Now there's something you can do to
slow it down. Get it going slower.
Izervay is proven to slow GA progression.
Izervay.
Izervay or Avacincaptad Pegol is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. Izervay can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. Izervay may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about Izervay today.
Izervay gets GA going slower.
Visit Izervay.com. That's Izervay.com.
Pep Talk? What's Pep Talk?
It's the Pensacola Expert Panel.
Experts? Experts in real estate?
Yes, that's us, Angela. We are the Pep Talk for real estate.
What will we talk about, Will?
We'll talk about the real estate industry.
Well, we don't just want to answer our own questions.
We want to answer the listeners' questions. Tune in today at 10 a.m. and we'll talk about real estate.
And whatever real estate questions you have.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Are you looking for the best news and talk radio in Pensacola? Then tune in to News Radio Pensacola. We're your source for the latest news, weather, and traffic, as well as in-depth interviews with local and national leaders. We also have the best talk radio lineup in town, with hosts that are passionate about the issues that matter to you. So whether you're looking to stay informed or just want to hear some great conversation, News Radio Pensacola is the place for you. News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, 6:38 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Joining us now, we have Wes Moreno. He is the county administrator for Escambia County, a very, very busy man. Wes, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew. It's great to be here this morning.
Yeah, great to have you. We have a meeting today, huge subjects on the meeting. We've got the committee of the whole meeting this morning. We're going to talk about building four fire stations, a pretty hefty price tag, but also a pretty necessary thing. What is it? Two new ones and two demo and replace. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct. We got one at Paradise Beach that is very, very much needed. Since we lost the one we had some years ago, you know, those folks out there can't get insurance. And if they do get insurance, it's just a great burden. And so we're working with the Navy to acquire that triangular piece of property going into the Southwest Forts Complex. And we have somewhat of an idea in mind and somewhat of a thought and a rendering. And we think we can put that thing in there for $4 to $6 million. But we got to own the property first. And so we're working with the Navy. We're all, and I keep saying this, I know people get tired of hearing it, we're almost there.
Okay.
Seems like there's always one last step. But yeah, that's the first one. And then.
I was just going to ask you about that one, because you and I have been talking about this for years, that it's almost, we're almost. And you guys have done, instead of building a like what you think of as a normal building, this is a manufactured building, which, as I recall, But you really, I mean, really, you really think we've got it?
I really think, really do think we were in the last steps of getting that property. And I say that, and this time next year, we may still be talking about it.
I got you.
But you know, we bought a pumper truck. We bought a truck to put there.
Mm-hmm.
And I told Commissioner Strohberg the other day, maybe we just buy just one of those little carports that you buy for your house and put the pumper truck under it.
Well, you know,
I don't know.
Something. But you were starting to say about the other three facilities.
Yeah, we have one on Kingsville, just west of 297A. There, that's an area that's has experienced some really fast growth, and we're much needed one there. And then in Myrtle Grove and Pleasant Grove, those two firehouses are in desperate need of repair and rehabilitation. So we're looking in that area there as well.
And is it the price tag I have in my head? It's around $25 million for all four. Am I in the vicinity?
Yeah, maybe a little bit more than that.
30.
Yeah, roughly.
Okay. Okay.
So 25 to 30 million.
All right. Well, I mean, you know, you need fire stations, and certainly the people who can't get insurance or have to pay, I mean, God, tens of thousands or whatever they're paying. It's crazy what those folks down around Paradise Beach are having to pay. Speaking of fire, we still don't have a contract yet for the fire, Escambia County Fire Rescue. The last I heard, you know, $13 an hour is a starting pay. Of course, their pay scale works a little bit different than most people, but where are negotiations at on that?
So we've been going back and forth, and we met this past Monday, and I think, or my understanding is from the fire union, is that we are going to have a tentative agreement with wages and with some other articles that we're looking at. So we have one more session on Monday. My expectation of that session is to walk in, sign about three articles, and then give them the whole document. We call it TA, tentatively agreed to document. And they're going to take that for ratification. If they will get that ratified, you'll see that on the May 15th meeting, and we'll button that up. But it has been some iteration, some talk. We have made quite a bit of progress in the last 3.5-4 years. I mean, when I came in, they were making, you know, I think the incoming wage was $32,000 a year for incoming firefighters. Right now we're at $43,000. And if this article comes along, we agree to it, I think you'll see it coming in at $50,000 to $52,000 a year.
Okay.
You know, we've given 4% to the lieutenants and above, plus whatever the rest of the county gets, they get that as well. So I know it, there's been some rhetoric and some talk going on, but we've made great progress there in wages and when it comes to fire. And we are we only have three vacancies right now in fire. I mean, when I came in, we had massive vacancies in fire. So I know the rhetoric, I hear it, but we have absolutely made some great progress when it comes to wages for fire.
And I think, would that be 16 to start instead of 13? Is that, I mean, I know the annual wage is a better way to think of it because of how they get paid. But
it's close to that, maybe 15.50 or something like that.
Okay. One of the other things, speaking of fire, obviously, you know, there's been a lot of discussion about this question of how we fund the fire service for the past couple of years. We've had to fund it out of a transfer from general fund because the MSBU, that's the flat fee that everybody pays for owning a home or a business, is not enough. And fire cost of fire service has gone up, and we want to have it be self-sustaining. At least that's the theory. So we're looking at a property tax increase, an MSBU increase from either, you know, an increase of like $75 for a homeowner. That's one possibility. The other possibility is if you live on the beach, to go up to like almost double what the people on the mainland pay. And if that proposal goes in, it's also like 1,000% increase on the square footage for commercial. The other proposal would be also an increase for everybody from $125 to $226, about $100 a year, 80%. And then a per square foot increase of 87%. So still almost a doubling for both commercial and for residential owners. But that would be evenly spread across the whole county, beach and mainland altogether. Those are kind of the two alternatives, right?
Those are the two alternatives that have been put out there. I think you may hear several iterations today before the day's over with of some thoughts and ideas. I know the Island Authority has some thoughts and ideas that they've Mike Burns out there, the executive director, he's been looking at to help offset some of that possible cost for the beach. It, you know, nobody likes to pay more. I certainly don't like to pay more, but it is a necessary thing. We have been supplementing the fire budget, you know, as the general fund, $10-11 million a year. And listen, that ties in with the fire wage increase, you know, everybody.
Yeah,
it is what it is. So we've last increase at the what we call the mainland has had was about 2015, 2016, and the beach hasn't been increased at all since for about 23 years. I mean, it's been a long time that we've gone out there like that. So and we have added personnel out there to the beach, but I know it's a burden, and I don't think anybody takes it lightly. We certainly understand the concern. I think you'll hear quite a few ideas brought forth tonight, and we'll see where we land. You know, people ask me, well, what do you think? I said, I'll be totally honest with you. I'm not sure.
Okay.
We'll just have to see. Everybody's holding their cards close to them. And, but I will say this. I will give the board credit for this. These conversations are not easy to have. They're just not. Because, well, you see all the concern and the commentary surrounding it. But the board has taken it up and taken a stand, and they're at least talking about it. And that is a huge step in the right direction. So I have to give the board credit for that. I know there, whatever social media commentary there is, this board is brave, stepping up and being brave enough to talk about it. So I do appreciate that.
Well, and I will say this, like, nobody wants to be the politician that votes in a property tax increase, even if it's not an ad valorem increase. Nobody wants to be that politician. But the other side of this equation is that, you know, the state has put constraints on municipalities and counties because you have homestead exemptions, you have limits in how much property taxes can be increased every year, which may or may not be good things. But, you know, the whole rest of the world doesn't necessarily obey those limits. And so this can create an issue. And by the way, when we come back, I need to take a quick time out with traffic. We're talking to West Moreno County Administrator John Pickens. Has traffic on the 5. John?
Still no accidents to report to you right now. I-10, I-110 are flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Thanks so much, John. I gave a little bit misleading information. I was actually talking about the changes for beach and mainland. The alternative to ones I was saying, and it's a lot of numbers and it's hard to do on the radio, but the alternative is to make the rates on the beach and the mainland the same, which would be still a 50% commercial increase and a 10% residential increase on the beach. But on the mainland, it'd be 113% increase and a 78% increase on the mainland. In other words, to make them all even. But there may be other options presented tonight, which we'll have to wait and see for the meeting. We're talking to Wes Moreno, County Administrator for Escambia County. Wes, one thing, I know people ask about this, and it's just a when kind of question. The fishing pier rebuild, the, you know, second or first, I guess, of the bridges, the 3-mile bridge. When is that expected to really get going and finish?
So, ironically, we just got our last needed permit yesterday.
Oh,
we'll sign that permit today, and then that would allow us to start the procurement process. So we'll probably start the procurement process in June. Issuing the NTP, the notice to proceed to a contractor, probably somewhere around October, November, and then you'll probably see it kick in heavily, the actual demolition and construction, after the first of the year, and I would say 24 months to finish it.
Okay, so we're talking 2028 is probably when we'll have that back in service. Is that about right?
That's about right. And it's about a $22 to $24 million project.
Okay.
And it is FEMA. You know,
FEMA's taking care of it all, so. Yeah. In connection with that, it's just a question that's been asked of me because we're doing the beach renourishment, or at least I expect we will do the beach renourishment. Because of the impact that has on fishing, because, you know, close-in fishing to the shore becomes completely different and maybe even doesn't exist much when you do beach renourishment for a while, have you guys given any thought with the damage that we keep getting to the pier, any possibility of, I don't know, a reconstruction, an extension of the pier to go deeper, especially with the beach renourishment? Is that even on the radar for Escambia County?
Are you talking about the Gulf Fishing Pier?
Yes, the big pier out of the beach. Right, sorry.
No, that's really not been discussed.
Okay.
You know, we just, got finished with a total rehabilitation of that pier after Hurricane Sally.
Right.
And there's a few structural upgrades, but no, not as far as lengthening it out in the Gulf. That's a whole elongated process.
Yeah, I know. I know somebody who's a big fisher in the area kind of asked me, and I thought, well, you know, I don't know the answer. I'll ask the question. The Bob Sykes Bridge replacement, are we still, I mean, that's like 200, 300 million. Is that, I mean, am I in the ballpark if we don't finance it?
Yeah, I think you're in the ballpark. And, we're still collecting the toll. We're still, you know, we've done some rehab work on that bridge to extend the life of it. But that is something that in the future that we're going to have to tackle.
The only reason I'm thinking about, I mean, I'm always thinking about it because it's a big, long-term, expensive project. But the only reason I'm thinking about it today is because we're talking about the turfing of the NEP fields, the John R. Jones facility on 9 Mile, to the tune of 25-ish million. That's the best guess we got so far. And that's money that, you know, I'm thinking, what's the benefit to the tourism, of course, which is the pitch. But also, that's 25 million that could be used under TDT rules, could be used for bridge replacement, right? I mean, I'm trying to think, like, what's the alternative use of that big chunk of money? And that's kind of what I was thinking of.
I got you. Well, I'll say this, you know, there's been some questions, well, how is this going to affect any Bay Center improvements and
right.
some things? But I'll say this, the Bay Center, and this is just me, I'm not speaking for the board, this is my opinion, so it ain't worth much, but the Bay Center is a long ways from going under construction. You know, the city has their plan to adopt a master plan around that area, and that's where they're headed. You know, we have a study that's going on there at the Bay Center, and when the study gets completed, you know, then the board will pick an alternative, and then you have to hire an architect, and then they go into design. And then, I mean, we're a little bit out on the Bay Center or any other project. In the meantime, John R. Jones, the infrastructure is basically there, and we can construct that project, and we'll start hosting tournaments. We'll start bringing in money, and we'll start appreciating the return on investment there, John R. Jones, long before some of those other projects come to fruition. So I know it's a lot of money, but I do think we will appreciate a great return on investment out there, and in a much quicker time frame than what some of these other projects will be ready.
I can see that. We actually had a really good conversation on the show. There's a lot of people that are concerned that maybe we don't need turf so much as we need drainage improvements and amenities improvements, and that maybe, you know, the price of the turf is too much for the return we could get on the other fixes that are needed at the fields. I'm hoping we have a good conversation about that tonight. Of course, I talked with Ashley Hoffberger about that just the other day. Before we let you go, Wes, the last thing that I wanted to ask you about is, only because I know people will find this interesting, the changing of the Gulf of Mexico to the Gulf of America on the sailfish sign. I know you know my position on this. I'm not, but it is the law. It is the president. It is the state. This is what, about a couple thousand, $4,000, something like that project, something like that?
It's about $2,600.
Okay, under $3,000. Sorry, I got the wrong number. And that was something you did without board approval. But I assume you talked with the commissioners. Was this like, who led it? Well, the commissioners led it, you led it. How did this happen?
Yeah, it wasn't a board vote, but it was a direction from two commissioners, absolutely.
Okay, and so the question I know a lot of people have is, but where is the Gulf of Mexico panel? People love their memorabilia.
I'll say that. If we need to put it back up, it'll be a whole lot cheaper to put it back up than it was to change it out. So we didn't just throw it away.
Very good. All right. Excellent. Wes Moreno, he is. Oh, and just one teeny thing. You guys always do these interesting recognitions, and this happens to be kind of semi-connected to me personally. You're going to be recognizing tonight a married couple for 75 years. 75 years of marriage happens to be the parents of our sales manager. And I just think I love that you do these little community notes. It's very cool.
Yeah, that's a great thing. Commissioner Cole is very excited about that recognition, and it's much deserved.
No, I love those. I always, I love that kind of human side of these things because it brings a smile to me and it warms my heart a little bit. Wes Moreno, Escambia County Administrator, I know you got a big day ahead of you. Thank you for taking some time this morning to spend it with us and to inform people about the big things that the county is deciding about. Wes, thanks for the time, sir.
All right. Thank you, Andrew. We'll see you now.
You bet. 6:54 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
You take care of your car, right? So why not give your auto loan some TLC? Refinance an existing loan from another institution with PennAir Credit Union and lower your interest rate by up to 2%. Plus, you can skip payments for the first 90 days. In addition to a better rate, you'll enjoy convenient banking and a friendly local team always ready to help. Learn more at PennAir.org/auto-refi. That's PennAir.org/auto-refi. All loans are subject to approval. Offer valid on loan applications submitted between April 1st and June 30th, 2025 only. Call toll-free 1-877-4-PENN-AIR for complete details.
The Burger Battle by the Bay is the best burger competition on the Gulf Coast. It's Saturday from 11 till 3 at Community Maritime Park, downtown Pensacola. All-you-can-eat burger bites and more. Tickets $15 now online, Solo Cafe Shop, and Wright Street Thrift. $20 day of the event. Proceeds support Take a Stock in Children, Alzheimer's Association, Polo Eradication, and many other community projects supported by Subwest Rotary. It's the Burger Battle by the Bay. It's Saturday at Maritime Park.
It's the Always Sunny Show. When you're ready to throw a barbecue, it's Always Sunny's. Join us on Friday at 9:30 with me, Eldon Scott, to hear about barbecue events in the Pensacola community, win some amazing prizes, and hear from community leaders and how Sunny's Barbecue has built a strong Pensacola for 40 years. Pep Talk with Eldon Scott, spreading the spirit of barbecue far and wide. Remember to tell Sunny that Eldon sent you.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Get the midday news live with Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins, 11 to 2, before Guy Benson on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
You have the look of a man who accepts what he sees because he is expecting to wake up.
I had a dream. We were sitting. Good morning. 6:56 News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News, and John Pickens has got traffic for us. John?
Still rolling accident free right now. No issues to let you know about. Traffic is actually flowing very smoothly this morning. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. Oh, by the way, I didn't get into it with Wes just because I was amazed at this. They're going to have to pay $80,000 to somebody who was, I guess, biking on the multi-use path on Pensacola Beach in April of 2017, and there's like a Gulf Power or FPL box that partially intrudes onto the bike path. They hit it and fell, and they're getting paid $80,000. Are you kidding me?
What?
Are you kidding me? You can't blame the county. The county is just facing, they're going to get sued and they're going to lose, you know? But are you kidding me? The world is full of hazards. You know, we bike all the time, my wife and I. We just the other day, we were in Mary Esther, and they have road signs that are like croquet wickets in the middle of the bike path, the sidewalk. If you're not paying attention, you would easily run into one or hit it with your handlebars or something. That would be my fault. That's just, the world is full of hazards. Shut up. But, God, where we are with lawsuits, it's crazy. And then, you know, that's you and me paying out money because somebody hurt themselves when they were out biking. What, are we going to have people sign waivers when they get on sidewalks now because to defend us against your dumb lawsuit? Anyway, David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Ukraine has now signed a minerals agreement with the U.S. That comes almost 2 months after the meeting between Trump and Zelensky, which derailed the negotiations a while back. Zelensky had previously declined to sign the proposals, which required Ukraine to relinquish a major share of its future oil, gas, and mineral revenues. But now a deal is signed. House Republicans advancing legislation supporting President Trump's immigration policies. The House Judiciary Committee approving a measure along party lines yesterday to fund the deportation of 1 million migrants each year, also including $45 billion to detain 100,000 migrants. And a woman that's been recognized as the oldest person in the world has died at 116 years old. Sister Ina Canabero Lucas died in Brazil on Wednesday. Her death was announced by the Congregation of Teresian Sisters of Brazil. They called her life one of dedication and devotion. The mantle of world's oldest person now passes down to Ethel Caterham, who is 115.
115? Ethel Caterham, 115.
She is now the oldest in the world.
She's
although still younger than several people on
more
this,
than twice my age. Would you say, and still younger than
still
what?
Still younger than several people apparently on the rolls for Social Security, though.
Nice. And nowhere close to those biblical ages. I mean, she's not, you know, 600, 700, 800, so, you know. She's no Methuselah. All right. So, anyway. Coming up next, we're going to talk about the fluoride bill. It's another slice of that big agriculture bill that we talked about a little bit already. But, you know, what did the state do with regards to that? We'll tell you. Stick around.